There is no shortage of people concerned about the environment on our part of the planet, and there's a healthy crowd of people who enjoy seeing movies on the big screen as well. And both crowds get a chance to join forces later this week as the Siskiyou Film Fest returns to Grants Pass High School with 18 films spread over 2 days. All the films have environmental themes, no surprise, since the festival is put on by an environmental group, the Klamath Siskiyou Wildland Center, or KS Wild. Three guests join us. Barry Snitkin is the festival director. He's on the phone with us. Barry, welcome.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Here in the studio with me is Morgan Lindsay, who's the membership and outreach coordinator at KS Wild. Welcome to you, Morgan.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
And Matt, you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation of your last name.
Stecker.
Stecker. Matt Stecker is the co-producer of one of the films featured at the Siskiyou Film Fest, and that is Damnation. And welcome to you.
Thanks a lot.
So, Barry, let's start with you. Give us the history, a little sketch of how the Siskiyou Film Fest came to be what it is today.
Well, Jeff, we started in Ashland in 2002. Showing a variety of films, and over the years it's grown. And in 2008, back then it was the Siskiyou Project, decided they wanted to start showing the films in Grants Pass rather than Ashland, and we moved the film festival there and have finally settled on a location, Grants Pass High School Performing Arts Center, that works really well. It's a beautiful theater, holds 800 people, and we continue to show premier films.
I have seen live theater at Grants Pass High School. How big is the screen that is provided for films, though?
I think it's about 20 by 30.
Right, so it's a good-sized screen for sure, and it is a very pretty room, that's for sure.
Yes.
Why move to Grants Pass, though? I mean, Ashland seems like the epicenter of the Southern Oregon environmental movement.
I think the folks at Siskiyou Project back then were thinking that Ashland gets a lot of things, and people understand issues there, and maybe we needed to do outreach to a different crowd.
All right, as we talk about outreach, that moves into the zone of Morgan Lindsay, who's the membership and the outreach coordinator at KS Wild. How effective is the film festival at getting out the mission of what KS Wild does? And in fact, why don't you talk about what the mission is?
Absolutely. Thank you, Jeffrey. So KS Wild has been around since 1997, protecting the rivers, forests, and wildlife of Southern Oregon and Northern California. We work with land managers, communities, to protect these the incredible Klamath Siskiyou. And I think the film festival is a fantastic way to bring people together. Films have a special way that they inspire us. They invite us into the dark to rediscover things that we maybe already know but don't get the chance to realize in everyday life. So I'm very thrilled to bring this 12th annual Siskiyou Film Fest back to Grants Pass. I'm really excited for the films we have this year, and I hope people will join us.
Barry, let's talk about the films this year. And first of all, how do you begin the process of recruiting or selecting or whatever the process is called in terms of getting films for something like the Siskiyou Film Fest?
Well, personally, I start by looking around at other festivals. There's large festivals around the country, actually around the world. And I look at some of the things they're doing, and I have friends that send me websites saying they heard about this film or that film, and then I contact the producers or the director and see if they're open for a show in their film.
And so is there a long weeding out process? I mean, do you have more, mm-hmm. do you have some things that you really wanted to get in here that you couldn't, or is it a little easier than that?
It's a large weeding out process because everybody thinks they have a great film, and many people do, but then again, not all films are, one, what we want to show, are done well enough to show. Some films just are very long, and, you know, sometimes a long film is good. Damnation, for an example, is a little longer than we would normally like, but it says a lot. We worry about it when people tend to say the same things over and over again with different people.
Got it. So, Matt Stecker, let's bring you in here as the co-producer of Damnation. Had you had things exhibited at the Siskiyou Film Fest before?
No, we have not. And I really appreciate Barry and Morgan inviting us to show it there. Really excited about that.
So tell us about Damnation and the process of making it and what the original spur to action was.
Well, actually, kind of building on what Morgan just said, I've been working on dam removal projects for several years now, as well as our executive producer, Yvonne Chouinard, who owns Patagonia, has been supporting dam removals around the country for over two decades. And we talked about kind of this growing movement to restore rivers and take unnecessary dams out, restore wild fisheries like salmon and steelhead at the Pacific Northwest. And one of the things we realized actually 3 years ago at the Wild Scenic Film Festival in Nevada City was that, you know, it's an amazing visual experience to see a river both in its damaged state and also after a dam comes out, just how quickly these rivers come back to life and these fish return. And we knew that we really wanted to show that in the form of a film to inspire people to understand the damage that is being caused and the opportunities we have all over the country to restore free-flowing rivers.
Matt Stecker is the co-producer of the film Damnation, one of the films being shown at the Siskiyou Film Fest Friday and Saturday at the Grants Pass High School Performing Arts Center. We also saw Barry Snitkin, the festival director, and Morgan Lindsay, the membership and outreach coordinator of the sponsoring organization KS Wild, with us. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll take a short break and come back with our guests and your phone calls. Environmental issues and the Siskiyou Film Fest on the Jefferson Exchange. Back with our guests and you in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today about the Siskiyou Film Fest, which comes to Grants Pass High School's Performing Arts Center Friday and Saturday of this weekend. 18 films over the course of 2 days put on by the environmental group KS Wild. These are environmentally themed films. And so we're talking to Barry Snitkin, who is the Siskiyou Film Festival director. Morgan Lindsay is the membership and outreach coordinator for KS Wild. Matt Stecker's with us as well. He is the co-producer of the film Damnation, about the process of dam removals now well underway in this country. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts about the environmental movement, the issues in the environmental movement, the issues represented in the environmental movement at the Siskiyou Film Fest, and those are the basic topics here. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Barry Snitkin, back to you. Who is the target audience here? Who are the people you're trying to beat out of the bushes to come to the Siskiyou Film Fest?
Well, Jeff, actually, we're open for anyone coming. You know, we'd love it if people who didn't understand the issues show up, and that happens often. Oftentimes, people who do understand the issues but want to know more come.
And there's a youth component as well. Is that right, Morgan Lindsay?
That's right. For the second time this year, we have KidFest, a free children's film hour featuring short documentaries about nature for an elementary school audience. And that's free for kids and adults at 11 a.m., running for 1 hour, also at the Grants Pass Performing Arts Center on Saturday, March 22nd.
I'm curious to know if there are any ancillary events that come along with the film festival. I mean, there's an opportunity, particularly with Matt Stecker's film Damnation showing, that you can take people on tours no more than 45 minutes from Grants Pass High School, and they can see two locations along the Rogue River where dams have been removed in the last decade.
Absolutely. Lost Creek and Savage Rapids Dam. I'm sorry. Excuse me. It's Savage Rapids Dam and
Gold Ray.
Thank you. I have actually on my desk, I have the little piece of concrete that came from the dam, so I should remember. The Rogue River is one of the rivers in the U.S. That is an example of what can happen when people who care about clean water and fish come together and realize that they have a shared interest in setting the river free and taking down the dams that have been blocking fish passage for many years.
Matt Stecker, when you and your producer, your co-producers, put together Damnation, probably a couple different ways you could have gone with this. How far back in time did you go is the first question then about when dams actually began to be considered for removal, which was a bit of a change, obviously, from the American attitude about dams and rivers.
Yeah, you know, it was hard to kind of define the scope initially. We obviously, there are dams around the world and more proposed, especially outside of the U.S., so we decided early on that we really wanted to focus in on the United States because we have kind of gone through this period of building a lot of dams, and we're also at the forefront of taking them out now. So it's kind of a perfect case study. And in the film, we definitely go back right off the bat and talk about the history of dam construction going back over two centuries in our country, and just the evolving recognition about what they have done to our rivers, and this kind of budding movement that really has just started in the past couple decades. We kind of do a 7-8 minute history, kind of crazy history section right off the bat, which is really entertaining. That kind of gives you the whole 200 years of dam building and the start of the dam removal era.
Yeah, the 200-year history sounds like a long time, but then people have to realize that we were damming rivers in New England back in the late 1700s, I would think, maybe even earlier than that. To be able to make use of the power from the river.
Exactly, and actually even on the West Coast, going back into the late 1700s, the first Spanish missionaries coming up the coast were building dams along rivers in California. So it's been underway for a long time, and well documented way back into thousands of years ago in Europe and elsewhere.
And so, what was the first dam to go?
Well, it's a good question. The Edwards Dam on the Kennebec River in Maine, 1999, is often kind of referred to as the first large dam that was removed, and actually was ordered removed by the federal government because they didn't have adequate fish passage, and they lost their permit to keep the dam. So that was one of the first big ones, although we did find there's a dam on a tributary of the Salmon River in Idaho, Sunbeam Dam, that was actually breached going way back into the kind of the early to mid-1900s. Specifically to restore salmon runs. So there's some scattered reports going back further, but really the movement kind of just got underway in the past couple of decades.
And again, Damnation is one of the films at the Siskiyou Film Fest this weekend at Grants Pass High School's Performing Arts Center. Barry Snitkin, the festival director, is it difficult to assemble a film fest with a specific focus like this at a time in history when people can get so much information and even watch full-length movies on the internet?
Well, is it difficult to do it?
Yes.
Well, it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of looking, but people can't get all these things in a timely fashion on the internet. Damnation, for example, previewed, I think it was about a week ago, first time ever shown anywhere in Austin, Texas, and I believe we're going to be the second showing in the country. And so we're lucky in that manner. We don't always get premieres. But you're right, people can get stuff on the internet, but it's way different watching it with an audience on a large screen, and then you get so much more out of a festival. You get all the exhibits, and you get to talk with, people. So there's a lot more than just watching a movie.
And Morgan Lindsay, can I assume that there's a bit of a bump in membership in KS Wild that comes about around festival time?
Funny you should ask, Jeffrey. Right now we have a special membership offer. If you come to the Siskiyou Film Fest and buy two tickets, $10 each, you get to become a member of KS Wild. So, we are a membership organization. All of the work that we do protecting rivers and forests is part of the work that we're able to do because of our 3,000 members. So we're really looking to the community to help support us in the years to come.
What does membership usually cost, and what are the benefits of membership in KS Wild?
We generally say membership is $35 per year for an individual, or maybe $60 for a couple, and you get our free quarterly newsletter and, of course, the priceless satisfaction of knowing that you're helping support the rivers and forests of the Klamath Siskiyou.
What are some of the other exhibits, though, that Barry was talking about, the things that are not strictly films at the film festival?
Absolutely. We have more than 20 different local community organizations that do similar work around the region, everything from the Rogue Valley Farm to School group, which is a sponsor of the film, which helps get kids out to farms and get fresh, healthy local food into the schools. Groups like you just heard earlier on this program, Speak for the Trees. Groups like the Siskiyou Field Institute that help get people out in nature to learn more about our region. So they will all be there at the festival. You can speak to them, learn about volunteering, how to get more involved.
All right, Siskiyou Film Festival again this weekend, Friday and Saturday at Grants Pass High School Performing Arts Center. 2 days, 18 films, including Damnation, of which Matt Stecker, one of our guests, is a co-producer. Morgan Lindsay is the membership and outreach coordinator for KS Wild. Barry Snitkin, the festival director. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions about the festival and its contents, and specifically of Matt about Damnation. And we'll be talking more about the other films as well in the moments ahead. Join us here on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's an email from Leo, no town given. He says, good morning. What would it take to get the festival into Mount Shasta? Thank you. Barry Snitkin, the festival actually does travel, doesn't it?
We actually did travel to Mount Shasta. We did a showing down there. In fact, I'll let Morgan tell you more about that because she took it there.
Sure. Right. Last Friday, we were in Mount Shasta. We partnered with the gallery in Mount Shasta and the Mount Shasta Bioregional Ecology Center and brought the festival there. We had a great showing. Over 55 people came out to see it, and we showed Dancing the Salmon Home, which is a great film that showcases the Winwinwintu and their sort of journey bringing salmon back to the McLeod River.
I have to ask, Barry, as you choose films for the Siskiyou Film Fest, if there's an effort to make sure you're hitting all the keys on the piano in the sense of sounding a bunch of different emotional notes, because obviously there's stuff out there that could make people really angry. There's stuff out there that is triumphant and makes people feel really good. So are you looking for a pretty even mix of those things?
Well, yes. I try not to, you know, there's a lot of films that, you know, all they'll do is make you cry, and I have a hard time watching them, to tell you the truth. So I don't. If I have a hard time watching them, I don't want to, you know, take it to the festival. I want films that'll not only highlight problems but solutions. You know, things that and sometimes highlight people who are creating those solutions and are being the activists that make the change. So that's what we aim for.
And the other films in the festival are, and I'll just read them off here, Fear Screen Fire, Do the Math, Who Bombed Judy Berry, Lords of Nature, and The Greenhorns. Am I leaving any out?
Well, those are the feature films. There's mm-hmm. many short films that you don't really want, probably don't want to mention them all.
Well, let's see. I see Freeing the Kalapuya, Acid Test. There's a youth video contest winning. Let's talk about the youth contest then.
Okay. Well, we've been doing this for about 3 or 4 years now, and we go to the high schools in the Valley, both Jackson and Josephine County, and solicit short videos. We have specific guidelines on the website and hand it to any of the instructors that we can find that are interested. And so this is for youth, I think, up to 18 years of age, and they create short videos on any aspect of the environment that they want and submit them to us. And then a field of judges from Grants Pass mainly look at them and try to give constructive feedback and pick the best films. And we give a cash prize.
Let us take a call for our friends at the Siskiyou Film Fest, Barry Snitkin, Morgan Lindsay, Matt Stecker. Here's Bob in Jacksonville. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thank you very much. We listen to NPR all the time, and the coverage is good. I just wanted to make a little balancing comment here that we moved from Atlanta to Oregon about 20 years ago, and we were the typical write checks to every environmental group. We more or less was asking us for money. We did have the impression before we came out here that, oh, my God, they're about to chop down the last trees. And I got to say, in the 20 years that we've been here, that's the farthest from the truth. And I think we need balance here. When you have 325 million people in a country, things are going to change. It's not going to be, you know, untouched. I think there's a way to do it sustainably. And I think the timber industry has changed 180. I think we need to stop all the litigation. We're just shooting ourselves in the foot. Every time we see a construction job, it's 2x4s from Canada. We've got to get along. We all use newspapers. We all live in houses. We all use toilet paper. We're all forest product users. Let's stop the litigation, and it's not one way or the highway. That's my comment. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. And as the person most central to the operation of an environmental group, let's throw that one to Morgan.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate you calling in today. KS Wild has been working since 1997, and some people may not know this, but KS Wild supports responsible logging on our public forests, on our Forest Service lands, on our Bureau of Land Management lands. We believe there is a way to do responsible thinning that not only gets small diameter logs out to our mills and helps create jobs, but also helps prevent and defend our forests from fire. There's a middle ground here. But when we see old growth logging of the kind that still occurs in the Klamath Siskiyou, one example was the recent cottonwood timber sale near the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, we have to take a stand. You know, when trees that are 300, 400 years old, 3 or 4 feet in diameter, those are not the kind of trees that we need to be cutting. Those are the trees that are helping hold the soil in place, keep our water clean, and provide a legacy for future generations.
Since Bob mentioned 2x4s, are old growth trees the kind that are going to end up as 2x4s?
That's a great question. What we're seeing actually today is that quite a few logs, especially private lands timber, is being shipped overseas as raw logs. A lot of that milling is no longer done here in Oregon, and that's something that KS Wild definitely would like to see more milling done here in Oregon.
I recall a timber industry executive saying at the Northwest Forest Conference in 1993, which I covered in Portland when President Clinton came to town, that most of the old growth trees end up in the door and window market because they have long, clear grain. And generally are not used for 2x4s. Those tend to be younger trees. So something else we need to talk about in the days ahead on the Jefferson Exchange, weeks and months ahead as well, to just define a little better what it is, the stuff we're talking about. Let's go to Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about environmental movement, environmental issues, and the Siskiyou Film Fest, which talks about both.
Yes, thanks. I'll get to my comment in just a second, but it occurs to me there's an awful lot, like she says, there's a lot of raw logs that are going across the ocean.
From private land,
They're not. Lot of raw logs on just they're just cut down and put on boats and sent away, and boy, it sure would go a long way to help our economy to put a big tax on those if they're not processed here. But anyway, I called for another reason. I've always been curious. Dams do prevent the salmon from coming uphill, but they also are a clean, renewable resource, so I value them for that purpose. Is there a way? My question is there a way to use the rivers to extract electrical power, like diversion pipes or something that allows the rivers to flow, that keeps using water as it flows downhill?
Let's ask this of two people in turn, and thanks for that, Brad. Matt, what did you observe through the creation of your film, Damnation? And then I'll ask Morgan to take that, too.
Well, one thing, you know, we had to touch on a lot of these topics because there's so many complex issues involved with dams, but one thing that we point out and we talk more about at the screenings for sure is this notion of clean, renewable hydropower. And I would just respectfully disagree with that notion. We typically look at hydropower in terms of carbon emissions, but the real problem with hydropower is that they actually degrade entire watersheds. They increase water temperature from the reservoirs. They cause algae blooms. They degrade habitat downstream. They destroy fisheries. And also, more and more studies now are showing that dams are actually one of the main climate change culprits across the world. And the reservoirs actually emit a lot of greenhouse gases, including methane, which is about 20 times more potent than carbon dioxide at trapping heat in our atmosphere. So I think the hydropower industry is definitely lobbying hard to show that they're a clean form of energy, but there's some good signs out there, including some investment portfolios and even some states in our country dropping hydropower dams from their list of renewable energy sources.
And Morgan Lindsay, does KS Wild consider any dams to be good dams? Are there diversions that can be done without dams?
Well, I think when we're thinking about ways to generate clean, renewable energy, there's other ways that we can do that, more advanced ways. For example, rooftop solar here in the Rogue Valley is really taking off, both for homes, residential homes, and businesses. One of KS Wild's strongest business supporters is TruCell Solar, our very own homegrown solar option that's creating, you know, jobs and a clean energy future here in the Rogue Valley. So I think, you know, that's a place that we can put energy and attention, that really keeps our rivers, you know, safe and clear. And places like the Rogue, where we've just taken dams out, you know, we want to keep them available for fish.
Keep the rivers unencumbered. Okay, we're talking to Morgan Lindsay at KS Wild. Barry Snitkin is the Siskiyou Film Fest director. Matt Stecker is the co-producer of Damnation, one of the films at the festival. We'll come back with these guests and talk more about environmental issues and the big screen representations of them at the Siskiyou Film Fest when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange with your phone calls and emails in a minute 15. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today about environmental issues, environmental films, and the Siskiyou Film Fest, which will be showing those kinds of films this weekend, March 21st and 22nd at Grants Pass High School. 2 days, 18 films. Barry Snitkin is the festival's director. KS Wild is the sponsoring organization. Morgan Lindsay is the membership and outreach coordinator for KS Wild, or the Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center, if you still don't by that name. Matt Stecker is the co-producer of Damnation, one of the films at the festival about dam removal in America. And you can join this conversation on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Barry Snitkin, let's talk a little more about the other films here, because A Fear Screen Fire is one of the headline films here, correct?
That's correct.
Tell us a bit about it.
Okay. Well, Fear Screen Fire, we're showing that Saturday evening, and it is a five-part history of the environmental movement. Now, it's hard, and it doesn't connect. It doesn't cover every issue that any of us or all of us want to cover, but it covers five large issues. And it's narrated by Robert Redford, Meryl Streep, Ashley Judd, Van Jones, and Isabel Allende. And it's not only in the United States, it's in South America. It covers diverse issues, Love Canal, the Grand Canyon. They wanted to dam, since we're speaking of dams, David Brower and his work to keep the dam, the Grand Canyon, from being dammed. And if, you know, and then it goes into climate change at the end of the film with Bill McKibben and the 350.org. So it's diverse and it's great.
Morgan Lindsay, when Barry was just talking about Love Canal, this is a story I'm familiar with, and a lot of older people are. It's about a whole subdivision built upon a chemical dump that ultimately proved toxic to everybody involved with it. But there are stories like Love Canal, names like Rachel Carson and Silent Spring that mean really nothing to younger people, and I'm including you in this group. So how do you work the outreach at an organization like KS Wild and to bring new people into the fold, other than the ones who can remember, the baby boomers, let's say, who can remember a lot of these big names in the environmental movement and were around essentially when the movement launched?
Well, thank you, Jeffrey. I'm going to challenge that a little bit. So I am a young person, I'll admit that. But I think young people care about clean water. They care about clean air. They realize that the world that we're coming into is a world that has some serious challenges. And in the work that I do for KS Wild, I'm really excited when I talk to other young people about solutions that we can come together. We can kind of turn away from some of the old ideas of the past and really embrace a future that protects the environment as a place that we all have to live, that really means that we all want a safe place to raise our kids. And so for me, some of those names, you know, I think, you know, I read Rachel Carson in college. And so a lot of, you know, I think it's important to ground ourselves in the history, but also be open to new solutions. And that's why I'm so excited about the Siskiyou Film Fest, because it brings some of the new ideas at the forefront, like Damnation, like A Fierce Green Fire. It gives us the history, but it also shows us a really exciting way forward.
Brad apparently called back and wanted to clarify his question just a little further. His question ultimately was, can we extract energy from rivers without impeding fish migration? And is there a particular position at KS Wild that no diversion is a good diversion?
Let's see.
No extraction of energy from a river. It doesn't have to be a diversion.
I think there's plenty of rivers in place today that could be modified, that are producing energy that could be modified to increase fish passage. I think we all agree that maybe dams aren't the way to go forward in terms of new dams. But, you know, oftentimes it's not immediately practical to take a dam down right away. So in that case, I would say, you know, including fish passage is a great short-term solution.
Matt Stecker, the co-producer of the film Damnation, did you see places where there were creative things done to dams other than just taking them out?
Well, following up a little bit on that fish passage question, you know, these dams taken out on the Rogue and other dams across Oregon and the Pacific Northwest and the East Coast, most of these dams did have fish ladders built on them. And the problem with fish ladders is that they work well on paper, and then you build them on these dams and you put them out in the real world, and they don't work as well as people would have hoped. In some cases, they don't work at all, or they pass one species of fish that's able to migrate through the turbulent conditions, but not a whole host of others. You get debris coming down that blocks fish ladders, sediment, boulders. And so fish ladders are actually a really ineffective form of fish passage in most situations. In some situations, they work, like huge dams that aren't very tall in the Columbia that have a lot of base flow conditions. Some of those fish ladders work better than others. But, I think other things people are doing, like trapping and hauling salmon around dams in trucks, is just a ridiculous Band-Aid approach that never gets back to a sustainable run of fish and doesn't address a lot of the other issues that dams cause in terms of habitat and water quality degradation downstream. So I think, personally, I'd advocate for long-term solutions that address the problem. And dams are just an outdated technology. And building on what Morgan said, you know, there's plenty of alternatives out there to get power at with a lot less impact on the environment.
Did the shooting of Damnation take you to the Rogue Valley, where there have been, let's see, there was the Bear Creek Dam removed from downtown Medford, there was Elk Creek Dam notched on a tributary of the Rogue, and then on the Rogue itself, Gold Ray Dam and Savage Rapids Dam, all removed in the last 15 years. So did your travels take you here at some point?
Yeah, and actually there's one other dam, Gold Hill Dam, was also removed from the main stem of the Rogue in 2008. We did, and we have a little bit of footage of, in particular, we've got some great time-lapse footage of the Gold Ray Dam being removed. And so we touched on the Rogue as well as several other dam removal efforts in kind of an inspirational ending to the film, showing a lot of these dams that have come out. We also focus just to the north of the Rogue on the beauty of just wild steelhead run in the North Umpqua, and a story about Lee Spencer, who has been watching these wild steelhead come back to a tributary of the North Umpqua for over 14 years. So there is quite a bit of local southern Oregon watersheds in the film, including the Klamath dam removals that are slated to happen in 2020.
All right, you anticipated that question then, whether you'd looked at the whole Klamath thing. And is this sort of like the holy grail for the people who favor dam removal in America, getting those four hydro dams off the main stem of the Klamath River?
Yeah, it really is one of them. I mean, it's the most ambitious, largest watershed restoration project ever planned in our country. And the Klamath was the third largest salmon run on the West Coast. Historically, these four dams have no fish passage. They've severed this critical link to the upper watershed. And also, importantly, you know, dams don't just block fish from getting upstream. They, on the Klamath in particular, there's been huge problems with these algae blooms producing, you know, toxic and harmful water that's been released downstream, caused massive fish kills, degraded, you know, the quality of life for tribes downstream. So it's a huge issue, and the owner of the dams, ultimately Warren Buffett, has agreed and is interested in taking them out purely on an economic basis because it's cheaper to remove those dams than to try to modify them and have them meet current environmental regulations.
Yeah, I appreciate the reminder that Pacific Corporation, which is the parent company Pacific Power, is now owned itself by Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett's company. We have an email here from Tony in Eureka, and it is a question for you, Matt. And he just says, removing dams is expensive. Why can't we just build fish ladders to help salmon?
Well, it's, you know, it's one of those things you got to think long term about. It's actually less expensive to remove a dam than it is if you carry that out over 50 years or so than to modify it with a fish ladder. And eventually, you know, one of the biggest problems with dams, and if you were approached by somebody with a business proposal to build a dam, you'd think it was crazy because dams are actually losing storage capacity every year as they trap sediment. They evaporate a huge amount of water off their surface, in some cases more than more water than is actually used from them. So you carry out this scenario for a couple decades, 50 years or so, and all of a sudden you've got a reservoir filled in with sediment that's not functioning for its intended purpose, and then the removal cost or dredging cost over time ends up being more expensive usually than taking the dams out. And I think it's telling that if Warren Buffett has run the numbers on his dams on the Klamath and figured out that it's less expensive to take them out and replace the minimal power with a few wind turbines, then I think it's a pretty good indicator that maintaining and modifying dams is actually more expensive in the long run than taking them out.
All right, your film Damnation does track the dam removal process and the aftermath, and I know a lot of people who are nominally opposed to dam removal cite something you just talked about, sediment buildup, and then, they talk about all this muck is going to roll down the river when you take a dam out. Have you seen that demonstrated at some of these removals?
Yeah. In fact, in some of these removals, the actual cost of taking out the dam itself, the actual concrete or earth dam, sometimes it's only about 10% of the total project cost. And in a lot of cases, the bulk of the cost is sediment management, how to address it. There's a whole bunch of different options, and it's a very site-specific management decision. For example, up in Washington State on the White Salmon River, the Condit Dam was removed 2 years ago, and in that case, they actually used dynamite to blow a hole through the bottom of the dam with the reservoir full and flushed almost, most of the sediment, and the entire reservoir was drained and flushed downstream into the Columbia in just a couple of hours. In other scenarios, like the Elwha River up on the Olympic Peninsula, they're staging the removals over several years to notch the dams down and release sediment slowly. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of different kind of management strategies for dealing with the sediment.
All right, Barry Snitkin, a couple of minutes left here. I want to talk about some of the other titles here. Do the Math, Who Bombed Judy Barry, Lords of Nature, and the Greenhorns, all at the Siskiyou Film Festival?
That's correct, Jeffrey. Let's see. So Do the Math is climate change film. We like to have a film about climate change each festival because it's an ongoing worldwide concern. Then you've got the Greenhorns. It's about youth in agriculture, what they face, what they're doing to make a difference in the world. Lords of Nature is a film about top predators in the environment and the effect that they have on the environment when they're removed and when they're reintroduced. That one highlights a couple of biologists from Oregon State University, but it actually looks at Yellowstone National Park and the reintroduction of wolves. What did I miss out on, Jeffrey?
Who Bombed Judy Barry?
That's a film that Daryl Cherney did with his settlement money from the FBI after he and Judy Barry were in a car that was bombed and
they were immediately accused of bombing themselves, and then it took a long 10-plus years of them litigating with the FBI before the FBI settled, paying them, well, paying Daryl and Judy's estate, as she had died of cancer in the interim, $4 million for their wrongdoing.
We did have Daryl on the program within the last 2 years to talk about his odyssey and the making of that film. I want to come back to Matt Stecker for just a moment because Damnation really focuses on what's going on in this country. Do you look at all about the fact that while we're talking about removing dams in America, we're talking about constructing huge ones elsewhere in the world, like in China and Brazil?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. In fact, just a couple of days ago, there was a new definitive study done by Oxford University. They looked at large dam construction over the last many decades, going back into the 30s to the present. And what they found was pretty amazing. They basically concluded that building large-scale dams is totally uneconomical. They found that the cost estimates for dams averaged, the actual cost ended up being about 95% more than the original estimate, and that it took about 60% longer to build a lot of these projects than was estimated. So when Oxford comes out of the study that's saying that building large dams is uneconomical, I think people are starting to figure that out. And again, I think there's never much planning around the fact that these dams lose capacity every year and are filling in with sediment. So it's really a losing proposition over the long term.
Matt Stecker is the co-producer of the film Damnation, featured at this weekend's Siskiyou Film Fest, Friday and Saturday at Grants Pass High School Performing Arts Center. Barry Snitkin, the festival director, Morgan Lindsay, the membership and outreach coordinator for the sponsoring organization, K.S. Wild. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
You bet. Good to have you all here. Tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange at 8 o'clock, we'll talk about the Community Health Improvement Plan for Jackson, Josephine, and Curry Counties. Our Vents Day segment, we'll talk about gun laws and public records. This is Sunshine Week. At 9 o'clock, we'll meet the author of the book Freedom and Dialogue in a Polarized World. That's all tomorrow, Wednesday, on the Jefferson Exchange. Our producer is Charlotte Duren. Our student assistant is Reed Newland. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Please join us again tomorrow at 8 for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. And have a great day.